Get Gardening is brought to you by Plantscape Windsor. Love your space.
Keeping you up to date during your weekend.
This is Live and Local on AM 800.
Good morning and welcome back to Live and Local Get Gardening Time. You can text 10-800-519-792-2559. Just before we get into it, I do have a text. Kyle, where is the egg hunt in Essex that you were talking about? It's at the soccer fields on Fairview Avenue, which is just down from the arena baseball field out there in Essex. Kicks off 11 a.m. Obviously, bring a raincoat, an umbrella, because it is just about to hit the city of Windsor. It looks like ice first. I know we were already getting texts saying, icy and rainy down in the Amherstburg area. I saw that it was raining in Leamington as well. So basically, if you're south of us, it is already rain, a little bit of ice, and it is just about to hit Windsor. And it is a big system. I feel bad. Don't forget about the farmer's market down there. I know a lot of you are saying, rain or shine, I'll be at the farmer's market this morning. So that is happening as well. But bring an umbrella. Maybe there's be more chocolate. Hopefully there's still a big turnout out there in Essex for the free Easter egg hunts. Maybe there'll be a little bit more chocolate if not a lot of people show up there. It's happening out in Essex. Good luck there. Another one here. Kyle, I bring eggs to lunch daily. Well, you're the stinky lunch guy then. That's why, I hate to call out my wife, but I mean, if you bring eggs to work, it's going to smell terrible, and you'll be known as the stinky lunch guy. Jay Terriberry with us here for Kit Gardening. Good morning, Jay. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well, thanks. What's on the menu for your Easter dinner?
We are doing ham, meatballs, potatoes.
Yeah.
We've got a spinach quiche for the vegetarians in the crowd. Huh. There's green bean casserole. Yeah, it's a well-rounded meal.
You had a few items there that were was on the Martha Stewart list.
Yeah,
so, there you go.
We try here.
We got our local Martha Stewart's, and of course, he's very good at everything plant and growing wise. And help us out here as we talked about all the rain. It's going to rain today. It looks like it'll be cloudy tomorrow, but then the rain comes back. You know, there's a chance of it on Tuesday, Wednesday as well, Thursday as well.
Yeah.
Do we got to be prepared for all this rain?
Yeah, it's actually raining here now in South Windsor.
I just ran
outside, and it has started here. So, yeah, I looked at the forecast, actually, for the next 2 weeks, and a little cooler this week, and starting next Saturday, it's quite mild. But even the week after this week, there's rain predicted for almost every day. So it looks like we got a couple weeks of moist weather here, which, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm quite happy about now.
Yeah.
As a golfer, I'm not happy about that.
True, but
as a horticulturalist, I'm happy about that. We need the rain. It is really, unless we get gully washing downpours and the rain doesn't really soak into the ground very well, this is very welcome. The farmers are going to love it. Anybody that's planted anything is going to love it. You know, we've talked to a bunch of people already about transplanting things. I've transplanted a bunch of stuff. I've got some seeds in the garden already, so that have actually germinated. So I'm definitely ready for the rain. We just haven't really had it for the last couple of years. We can't talk about it enough. It's been very dry. You dig down, 15 centimeters, 30 centimeters into your garden, and there's very little moisture there. So this is going to be very welcome. I hope we get the full 2 weeks. The golf courses will love it as much as they don't love it because they're not going to have many golfers out there.
True.
The grass is going to look awesome in a couple of weeks if we get what's predicted. So we need it. I know not everybody's happy about it, especially with Easter egg hunts and markets and all this stuff opening and taking place this weekend, but we really do need the rain.
I mean, people are texting in, though, saying they're still going to all of these events. We got the helicopter Easter egg drone.
It's only rain.
Yeah, that's it, right? Just bring your umbrella. I mean, it's spring. We're kind of used to that around there.
So,
don't forget about the helicopter Easter egg drop out there at the Vollmer Complex in LaSalle as well. Mike and Lisa will be heading out there very soon. You did mention all the rain, although good news, at least what I've seen. Somebody asked me today to look at the eclipse day, April 8th. That day is supposed to be sunny and 16,
awesome.
Actually. So it is supposed to be a beautiful day. So
We got our glasses already. We are heading to the cottage. We're on the little line.
Yeah.
We're on the little line there. So we're hoping we get a good show. We're hoping it's going to be clear. So
Good news so far. We'll keep our fingers crossed on that. You can text us 1-800-519-792-2559. Let's kick it off on the phone lines with Kurt. Good morning, Kurt. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How's
morning.
It going?
I think we're doing all right. Jay, you doing well this morning?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, we're doing okay. What do you got for us, Kurt?
My daughter built a house down in Corbin Watson area in Kingsville, and they've had a struggle with their lawn. I called in last fall with, like, their lawns are just all brown.
I think I remember you calling, yeah.
Yeah, and they were doing their best, and they reseeded, and now they have clover mites coming out of the lawn, and they're trying to climb up the side of the house. Like, how do we get rid of those? Just drown them, or what do we do?
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, we have a number of insect pests that come out in the spring, and, you know, there's lots of them around, and they tend to gather together on places that are warm. So the sides of the houses, the sides of the buildings, et cetera, sides of trees, et cetera, facing south or southwest to try and keep warm because it is cool. A lot of things are coming out earlier than they normally would. I wouldn't worry about it too much. We have the box elder bugs, the same thing. They all coagulate and they just form all over the place. They don't do a tremendous amount of damage. They're just trying to stay warm. As soon as things kind of warm up a bit, they're going to disperse, and that's probably going to be the end of them. If they want to hose them off the side of the house, that's probably fine, but they're eventually going to disperse anyway.
So don't waste our time with chemicals and all that.
I wouldn't worry. No, they're not really going to do much. Like I said, they're just hovering, trying to stay warm right now. So I would not worry about it too much. It's kind of you don't really need to put any chemical down. They're not hurting anything, right? There's nothing they're going after right now. So I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Okay. Yeah, just curious because I don't want them getting in the house and.
Well, that's the issue, right? It's the same with the box elder bugs. When they come out, they all get near the entranceways and wherever it's warm. And, of course, you open the door and they start coming in. And, again, they're not going to hurt anything, but you just don't want them in there. So, yeah, I would say if they can hose them down, like just take some high-pressure water and hose them down off the side of the house, that's probably the best thing.
If they put a little bit of laundry detergent in a hose end jar, will that smother them?
Wouldn't hurt them. It wouldn't hurt them. It would certainly force them away. If they're a hard-bodied insect, it's probably not going to kill them, but it's going to irritate them, and it'll probably get them to go. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you.
Alrighty.
All right,
okay,
Kurt.
Have a great
good
day.
Luck with that. Give us a text, 519-792, or you give us a call, 519-792-2559. You can text 10-800. Lots of texts coming in. Jay, I have overgrown bushes in my yard. Can I bonsai them? If yes, how should that be done? Or are there local people that I could hire for this?
No, there are some local people. I'm not going to give names out over the air, but yes, if you were to call some of the Landscape Ontario landscape companies, a number of them have people that are very, very talented pruners, some of them my ex-students, and they could certainly help you with that. Yeah, if you have old conifers, old evergreens, I've seen a number of people over the years that do, you know, it's a pseudo-bonsai. You know, the whole idea of bonsai is to create smaller plants that look like their normal size. You're not really doing that, but you are doing some ornamental pruning, let's put it that way. And you can poodle them. You know, you can leave some of the growth on the ends. It's one of those things that you have to keep up over the years because new growth will want to occur along some of those older stems that you leave. So if you want to leave the growth at the end and kind of ball them up a bit, it's going to take a few years to get, I guess, the look that you want. I don't know if you're, you know, again, if you're poodling them or what you're doing to them, but you're not going to get them perfectly round the first year. You're going to be able to trim them up. Don't trim anything too small to start. Leave some decent size, you know, pockets of growth at the ends so you can always bring them down a bit. But if you bring them down too far to start with, it's not going to look like anything. It's going to kind of look kind of weird. You know, the plants are still going to need leaves to grow. They still need to photosynthesize. So leave enough growth that the plants are going to remain healthy. But don't take off too much because you want them to fill in and then you can round them or whatever shape that you're looking for. So go about it slowly, remove a little bits at a time until you kind of get the desire that you're looking for. But it's going to take a couple years.
When is the best time to dethatch my lawn?
We're a little early still. Generally, just before the lawns begin their active growth. I mean, we're really close to that. And with all this rain we have coming, you're going to want to wait. The lawns need to be, I'm not going to say dry, but they certainly don't need to be wet. If you dethatch a lawn that's wet, you're going to destroy it. You're going to rip out clumps, and it's going to be really hard to get the dethatcher through. You're going to leave wheel marks and all kinds of things. So it needs to be a little drier. So my guess is once this rain, you know, and literally look at the long-term forecast, because we've got 2 weeks of it coming, and let things dry up for a couple days. If we get a couple dry days after a good rain and the grass has just started to grow, because you want, after dethatching, you want the lawn to be able to repair itself. You don't want it to sit there and do nothing. And that's why we normally don't recommend this, you know, after about early to mid-fall at the latest, because the lawn doesn't have time to repair itself. It's the same with aeration that we're going to be starting very soon here, I'm sure. So, yes, by all means, we're almost there, but I would wait a week or two, see how the weather goes, let your lawn dry out a bit, make sure it's actively growing, and then I think we're ready to start dethatching.
Last one, then we'll take the first break here. Hi, I just cut off my amaryllis leaves as they are wilted with bulbs still in the pot. Do I keep them in the sun and water like a normal plant? Thanks.
No, if they flowered earlier, if you got some amaryllis for Christmas or whatever it was, and they've finished blooming and the leaves have indeed dried up, that means all the energy has gone back into the bulb, which is perfect. You want to take that bulb and rest it for a while. Throw it down in the basement. If you have a cold room, that would be great. If you have a garage, even this time of year, you know, yeah, we're going to get a couple nights where the temperatures drop below freezing, but all in all, we're probably not going to get any hard freezes anymore. I probably shouldn't say that, because we'll probably get one coming up. But anyway, chances are we're not. So put them someplace cool, dark, and let them sit for a few months, and then you could bring those things back outside in the summer, or put them back in a sunny window in the house, start watering them. That will create, you know, a new flower, and then you'll get the leaves come out after the flower. So yeah, they need to go dormant for a while. So get them out of the sun, get them into a dark, cool room. You can leave them right in the pots. They'll be perfectly fine. They actually like to be a little bit pot bound, and they should be fine. So,
okay, yeah. Great stuff. I mean, just looking at the lows here, low minus one is the lowest we get. That's next Thursday overnight.
Yeah,
so,
that's not bad.
You know, not terrible.
For one night in a garage, nothing's going to freeze.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Okay, let's take that first break here. You can text us 10-800-519-792-2559. One thing I just want to correct here, Kyle, Adam Marion's birthday is today, not tomorrow. I'm sorry, Adam. I see you turning 13. Welcome to the teenage life. Enjoy it. It goes by fast. And I'm sorry, we did have issues with birthdays today. Some are coming in from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Sorry about that, but I did try to get to at least all of them. And hopefully, if you did have your birthday this weekend, your name was mentioned. So sorry about that, Adam, but enjoy your 13th birthday. You can text 10-800-519-792-2559. We'll come back with more Gig Gardening with Jay Terberry, Kyle Horner here on AM800.
What are the fruits and vegetables you should avoid planting side by side?
Ask our horticultural expert now on Get Gardening.
Welcome back to Get Gardening. Kyle Horner with you. Jay Terberry answering your questions. You can text 10-800-519-792-2559. You can also email me, kyle.horner, H-O-R-N-E-R, at bellmedia.ca. And that's what Bonnie did here. Happy Easter, guys. Just a quick question. Can we finally start to remove the fall leaves, twigs, etc. from our garden beds? Yeah, I would like to know that. I'm ready to go. She's just itching to get out and work in the garden. Also, made the font bigger for you, Kyle, knowing you don't have glasses or contacts today. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Bonnie, thank you for thinking of me. As my dog ate my glasses, we have visitors in town, we have family in town, and I couldn't find my contacts. I didn't want to make a lot of noise, so I'm shooting blind today, but let's help her out here, Jay.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
If my dog chewed my glasses, I might not even be able to talk on the phone. I'm not
second
sure.
time. Second so, time it's happened to me, wow. So that's on
anyway,
me, though. Yeah.
Yes, it is. I'm actually going out to the, well, I was hoping to go out to the cottage this week and start removing the leaves from the gardens out there. I was out there yesterday, and I said, I'm going to wait a few more days. It's a little chillier by the water with the cool winds coming in off, and we're anywhere from a week to 2 weeks behind the city out there just because of the cool weather. Yeah. So I'm waiting a bit to go out there, but in town, I have removed the leaves from a lot of my beds already. You know, I planted up my vegetable gardens. I removed all the leaves a few years ago. Well, I didn't plant them up. I put some of the early seed down, but I got them ready. And in my gardens as well. So, yes, I would say. And the other thing is, it's nice to get all those leaves removed. And I know a lot of the bulbs are starting to come up. I got daffs in bloom. I saw the first hyacinths the other day. Get those removed before those bulbs start coming up so they don't have to force their way up through the leaves.
Yeah.
And it makes it a little easier and they get a little more sun on them that way. So if your bulbs are just starting to pop up, it would be perfect to get out there and try and remove all those leaves and get them off the gardens and, you know, bag them up, compost them. You know, I actually take the leaves and move them to other parts of the gardens that are a little more natural. But in the areas where I need bare ground, I have started to remove those leaves already, yes.
Okay. Let's go to line one here. That's a refined Bill. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Not too bad.
Good. What's your question for Jay?
I got two, actually.
Yeah.
I've been walking around Amherstburg in the mornings, and I see the grass is starting to green. You see these perfect circles of grass. They can be any size from 10 feet across to 30 feet, and they're about 6 inches wide. What insect or what's causing that? And they're perfect circles.
Yeah. Yeah, those are turf rings. It's actually a fungus.
Okay.
They've been around. It's nothing. Oh, I shouldn't say it's nothing to concern yourself with, but it is. It's caused by material breaking down underground, and it's actually causing a release of nutrients. So in these areas where you see the rings, you have the nutrients and the turf takes up all these nutrients, and their areas are much, much greener than the surrounding. It's generally something, and why they're rings is, in a lot of cases, it's old tree stumps that have been cut down below the surface, and as those rot, you get the perfect ring or the shape of what was there underneath. I've seen 2x4s that have been buried in the ground, and you'll see a perfectly straight 8-foot section of turf that's a lot taller or greener than the existing turf around it. As the season goes on, those usually kind of tend to blend in as the rest of the grass right. catches up, so you don't see them as much, but they're always very, very noticeable in the spring. And it's just a fungus. You'll actually see mushrooms come up there occasionally. It's the only thing really that you can do to try and control it is remove whatever it is that's rotting underneath the ground. If it's a tree stump or whatever it happens to be, you literally get in there and dig it up and take it out. If not, you live with it a little bit in the spring, and like I said, generally by, you know, June or whatever, it kind of blends in with the rest of the lawn and you don't see it anymore. And over time, once all that material breaks down, the ring will go.
Okay. My second one is, what is the bush that has yellow flowers coming out?
The forsythias are blooming right now.
Literally.
Yeah, the forsythia, they've been out, at least in Windsor. They're not out, like I said, down by the lake.
Yeah, we have them, actually.
A little early, but mine are out here at home.
Yeah, we have ours, too.
Yeah, it's a forsythia. It's one of our earliest spring flowering shrubs. Great harbinger of spring every year.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, Bill.
Have a good day.
Yeah, best of luck with that. Again, you can text us 1-800-519-792-2559. Jay, there's going to be so much rain next week, so when is the latest that I could put corn gluten down?
I would get out there today before.
Yeah, there you go, texter.
I was actually thinking about that this morning when I looked at the weather and said, boy, if I had to put corn gluten down, which I don't. I don't really have a crabgrass. It's one of the only weeds I don't have. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I would be putting it down probably today. My neighbor at the cottage, it's funny, he asked me yesterday, and I said, you know what? We got a lot of rain coming the next couple of weeks. If you can get it down today, get it down today. And he was going to put it down yesterday. I think with the warm spring, well, winterish, whatever you want to call it so far, I think we're going to have early germination of crabgrass.
Oh, wow.
I would be putting down corn gluten right now, and I would probably, with all the rain we're going to get over the next couple of weeks, as the caller said or the texter said, I would do it again probably in about another month from now. I'd probably put down a second application.
As somebody that's new to all of this, I know we've been doing the show for years, but as somebody that's new to all of this, can you just explain to me what corn gluten will do?
Corn gluten is what's considered a pre-emergent herbicide. And as if you had crabgrass last year in your lawn, crabgrass is a prolific seeder, and it drops seed down pretty well all year long. It's not, you know, like some plants that seed once, drop their seed, and they're done.
Okay.
Crabgrass will push out seed spring, summer, fall, and that seed drops. Where that seed drops, there's a very good chance if it gets enough sun and moisture the following spring, and sun's the key. So if you thicken up your lawn, and that's why we always talk about, you know, one of the best things you can do to fight crabgrass is fertilize, aerate, put down some overseed, and it thickens up the lawn, and then the sun can't get down to the soil, so the seed doesn't germinate. So if it's still kind of a bare area, that seed is going to germinate this spring. What the corn gluten does is kind of puts down like a barrier on the soil. And as the crabgrass germinates, as those seeds germinate, it kills it.
Okay.
It doesn't kill mature plants. So if you've got crabgrass plants already, corn gluten won't do anything to the existing plants. You're going to have to pull those out by hand or whatever the case may be. But what it's doing is it's preventing new plants from forming. You have to put down a lot.
Okay.
And, you know, whatever the directions say on the bag, you need to put down a lot of material to have it work, and then it has to be watered in immediately after. So that's why I said if you can run out right now and put it down before it rains, that'll help to water it in.
Great stuff. Appreciate that. Yeah, I had no idea about that, so thanks a lot. Happy Easter, gentlemen. I have a few years ago, I planted several panicle hydrangeas, and the pink diamonds are doing great. The PGs get tons of blooms, but the branches aren't strong, and most drop to the ground or drip to the ground. I end up with beautiful blooms lying on the mulch. Can you help me out with this? Thanks so much.
Yeah, you can tie them up. I've done that before, and I've had some clients that have done that as well. And that happens. I've heard Sandy actually talking about that. It might have been last fall. They do get gigantic, some of the blooms. As a side note, boy, you want to see some big hydrangeas. When we were in Hawaii, they're just like the size of your head.
I can imagine, yeah.
But yeah, but you can tie them up. You know, once you see the flowers start forming, just get some twine, and you can get twine that will blend right in with the shrub. You know, I've got some nice brown or beige twine that honestly, when I wrap it around stuff, you can't even see it. And just kind of wrap it around and kind of hold the branches upright. And that way, when they bloom, they might still droop a little bit, but they won't go all the way to the ground. And that's kind of about the only thing that you can do with them. That's a lot of the new hybrids. They're just bred for big, beautiful flowers. And the stems just aren't really designed to hold that kind of weight. So you need to help them a bit.
Okay.
You know, if it's not that big of a plant, like, you know, they've got things like peony rings for the big peonies and stuff like that. I don't think they have hydrangea rings yet. But anyway, just tie them up a bit. And that's probably the best bet.
Good morning, Kyle and Jay. Will clover grow in the shade between two dogs and not much sun? I'm trying to find an alternative to grass, or should I just say mud?
Yeah, no, probably not. Clover, like turf, needs full sun. So that's why it's always a good complement with the grass. Like I said, the last couple of years, and I'm getting ready to do it actually, I've overseeded my lawn at home with clover. And it needs full sun. So I would look at other alternatives, and there are some that you can use. They're limited, but look for shade ground covers. You know, do a little research. Look for shade ground covers and add on to that shade ground covers that will take a little bit of abuse, like something that can be walked on.
Yeah.
And there's limited plants that will fall into that category, but you'll find some. The problem is most of them require sun. You know, you can try periwinkle. It's not really a turf alternative, but it is something that will grow in the shade, and it is something that can be walked on.
Let's head over to line one. That's where we find Debbie. Good morning, Debbie.
Good morning. Good
morning. What's your question for Jay?
Okay, I'd like to know, can I move my rhubarb now?
You can. Mine's coming up. Yours is probably starting to pop as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's only up a couple inches.
Right.
But I transplanted a bunch last spring. It was probably right around this time.
Okay.
And it was fine. So I would say yes. Dig down deep, Planted a little bit on the high side. It does not like to sit on in water at all. It likes to be well-drained. I've got mine in a raised bed, okay, which really helps with the drainage. And water it in really well. I don't think you're going to have to worry about that with all the rain they're talking about here the next couple weeks. If you can get it moved soon. But give it a really good drink. Keep giving it really good drinks after you transplant it. But I would say yes. If you haven't, then yeah, do it now.
Oh, thank you so much.
Alrighty.
All right, Debbie, good luck, okay? Happy Easter. Take care.
You too.
Thanks. You can text 1-800-519-792-2559. Lots of texts coming in, so let's bang some out here, Jay. Let's see here. Hi, guys. What's the earliest that I can plant my cannas in a pot, in pots and in the ground? That's from Dave.
They're a tender plant.
Okay.
They will not like the cold soil in your pots or in the ground. I'm going to say mid-May at the earliest. There's no use trying to rush things out, because even if you do get them out and they don't die, they're not going to do anything. They're just going to sit there and do absolutely nothing. So you're better off waiting till all the soil's nice and warm. So I'm thinking another month and a half or so, and we should be ready for a lot of things that we can put outside at that point in time.
Let's go. We're all itching like that, like Bonnie was saying there. When can I cut back roses that have gone crazy at the house we just bought? And for friends in the States, when can we put down their version of weed and feed?
A little early for weed and feed. We were talking about pre-emergent weed killers a minute ago. That's a different thing. That's for controlling things like crabgrass. Weed and feed is more for broadleaf weeds. Broadleaf weeds aren't really doing much yet. You know, I've had lots of buddies already asking me about Creeping Charlie, and it's still pretty early for that stuff. So for weed and feed, you want to wait until you see the weeds actively growing. The lawn should be actively growing by then as well. And then, you know, you want to water the lawn first or do it after a rain, and that way the material actually sticks to the leaf. You get better control that way. If it drops down beside the plant, it's still fine, but you get better control if the leaves are wet. But it's a little early for weed and feed. I'm going to say we're probably, and again, it's hard to gauge this spring because everything's so far ahead, but we're probably at least 2-3 weeks minimum from putting down weed and feed.
Okay.
Now, as far as cutting back roses, you can do that now. I'm going to prune mine at the cottage this week, barring, you know, I can get out there between rains. But I'm ready to prune mine. I mean, I prune mine back in the fall. I always do. But now it's time for the spring prune to kind of clean them up. But I've seen a couple new breaks on them, so they're starting to leaf out. So this would be the time to cut them back. And if you've got a kind of a wanky rose that needs to be cut back, now is the time to do it. You know, cut it back to 4, 5, or 6 strong canes. You know, go back to some strong buds. Cut it back to any height you want, any reasonable height. You know, you can go back to 3 feet if it's a big, tall thing. You can bring it down a little bit more than that if it's a smaller plant. But now would be a good time to do it.
Is the hydrangea bloom committed to the color it's going to be when it's before it's in full bloom? And at what point should I start to acidify my soil to get the blooms going on the hydrangeas?
Oh, you should be acidifying all the time.
Yeah.
If you're looking for blue flowers, then you should have acidified when you planted it, and you should be acidifying probably a couple times a year. And you can use sulfur products. You know, again, do some research. You can get pure sulfur. Or you can get fertilizers that contain sulfur. There's many ways you can do it, liquid forms, powder forms. I got a big chunk of sulfur in my shed, and I just take a hammer to it. I powder it down. I sprinkle it around the base, you know, and I do it to a few things and water them in. And I do it at least a couple times a year. You'll want to work in some peat moss when you plant it. That will help with acidifying. Compost will help with acidifying. Pine needles, oak leaves, you know, just anything that you can mulch it with, anything that you can pile around it will help with acidification. But if you see the blooms and you throw sulfur down, they're not going to turn blue that fast. It's not that. It needs to be there for a while. It needs to work its way through the plant. So that's something that you want to do on a regular basis.
One more text here. We'll get to the phone lines. Paul, I know you're waiting there. I promise I'll get to you. Good morning, guys. Love the show. Listen every week. Well, thank you very much. Where locally can I find 1010 fertilizer? I used to get it at the Old Castle Coop, which is long gone. The closest one I know of is in Stony Point. Can you help him out with that one?
Yeah, that's a good question. I haven't really been out looking for fertilizer products yet. I've still got some lawn fertilizer, so I'm good to go for the start of the season. That's a good question. I'm not really sure. Again, I just call around. You might find some at the hardware stores, you know, or some of the big box.
Yeah, Canadian Tire's got the Golf Green 10-10-10.
Yeah.
I see Amazon's got the Schultz 10-10-10.
And you know what? If it's Golf Green 10-10-10 and it's recommended for lawn fertilizer, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what, you can use it on anything.
There you go.
10-10-10.
And that's at Canadian Tire.
A bag that says lawn. It's still 10-10-10 fertilizer that can be used on any other plants if you so desire.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. So I'm looking at it right now at Canadian Tire. $15. There you go. Thanks
That's
for the text.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad at all, right? Some of the sales out there, some of the sales are really good, actually, that I've been noticing. Let's head over to line one. We got Paul. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. What's your question for Jay?
I've got a tulip tree out in the front yard that's about 15 years old.
Okay.
And in years past, I've had it fertilized by a tree company.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off really well. And then by late spring, it just starts getting full of aphids. And then by midsummer, the leaves curl, and it's just...
not good.
So last year, I wasn't going to have it fertilized because I had another tree company told me that it was actually the fertilizer that was causing the aphids.
Mm.
I guess they like the nitrogen or whatever that's in the fertilizer.
Yeah.
But last year, it didn't make that many leaves, and I was told it was because of the dry summer that we had the previous year. So make sure you get it fertilized. So I'm getting one company saying fertilize and another company saying don't fertilize, and how do I get rid of these darn aphids?
That's an interesting story. I can't see where fertilizer would have any issue with the aphids at all. I would fertilize regularly. I try and fertilize all my deciduous trees every year, and I think that's the best thing you can do. I do agree with the part about the dryness the last couple of years. It has impacted a lot of trees, and if your tree was having a little trouble with insects before the dry weather the last couple of years is not going to help because the tree's not going to be as vigorous as it normally would be. So keep fertilizing. If you didn't fertilize last fall, you could fertilize this spring, but generally the recommendation is fall fertilization for all of your deciduous trees. But if you didn't do it last fall, I would do it now. With all this rain we're getting is going to help. Keep it watered.
Yep.
I don't know if you water at all, but a good slow drip every week around the drip line of the tree, and that's where most of the nutrients and most of the new roots are going to be, would help tremendously during the June through September time period where it tends to be quite dry here.
Yeah.
Would help a lot. As far as the aphids go on the tree, I'm sure at 15 years old, it's getting pretty tall now.
Yeah.
So it would be maybe difficult for you to spray, but aphids, you can control them pretty easily with horticultural soap. If you had a sprayer, it's not toxic at all. If you had a sprayer, you could probably get most of the tree with a good sprayer, get some horticultural soap, insecticidal soap, mix it up to proper directions, spray. You might have to spray it every couple of weeks, but you could probably get pretty good control that way. But certainly keep up with the fertilization and keep up with the watering, and I think it's going to help quite a bit. Yeah, that whole aphid liking the nitrogen thing, I'm not going to go with that.
Okay, great. And you recommend the fertilizing even though it's getting to be a mature tree? Like
100%. I've got 70-year-old maples in my backyard, and I fertilize them every year.
Oh, geez. Oh, that's good to know.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
All right, Paul.
Have a
great weekend.
Thanks, buddy. Okay. You too. You can text 1-800-519-792-2559. We'll take the final break. We'll come back a little rapid fire here on Get Gardening. Jay Terberry, Kyle Horner on AM 800. Good morning and welcome back to Kick Gardening. Kyle Horner with you, Jay Taberry, answering your questions. You can text 10-800-519-792-2559. Before we get into a little rapid fire, if you're looking to help clean the city today, Windsor of Change, which is a great group, great Facebook group, they're helping clean the city today at 12 p.m. at Gateway Park, which is next to Dollarama on University Avenue in Windsor. They will be cleaning there. They got trash bags, gloves, all of that will be provided. All you got to do is show up and help them out. They're called the Trash Mob. And again, that is at noon today. Gateway Park, next to Dollarama on University Avenue in Windsor. If you need something to do, obviously bring an umbrella, rain jacket, and help clean up the city there with Windsor of Change and their Trash Mob. You can text 10-800-519-792-2559. Lots of texts coming in. Let's do a little rapid fire to wrap up the show. Jay, when and where is the best time for hunting? Is it morels? They look kind of like mushrooms, right?
Oh,
hunting,
yeah.
Morels? Yeah.
That's a good question. I'm not a big mushroom guy, at least as far as going out and hunting and picking them. But generally, mushrooms always tend to pop a bit more after we have a really good series of rains. So if the weather's warm enough, I'm thinking even a couple weeks from now, with all the rain that they're talking about, we're probably going to have an influx of mushrooms. You're probably going to see them in your gardens at home as well. So if you're out hunting for, you know, edible mushrooms, I'm thinking a couple weeks from now they're probably going to start. I'd maybe try and check a website out. I'm sure there's groups around the county that do that on a regular basis, but that would be my first guess. I would think a couple weeks from now, when all this rain that we're supposed to be getting is done and temperatures begin to warm up, I would bet we're going to start seeing them popping.
Okay. I had to look them up. They're very cool. So,
oh, yeah.
That's a good question there. I have a needle pine bush in the front of my house that needs to be trimmed. Can I do that now or should I wait till spring? Which I guess technically we are in spring.
Technically we are in spring, but it's a good question because normally you wait until you see the candles, and the candles are those long spikes of new growth, and in many cases that's the only growth that pine is going to put out for the year. That's generally spring growth. Then the candle comes out and then eventually it unfurls and all the needles are present. The best time to prune that is when you see the candles and they're not open yet, because you can say it's a 4-inch candle, you could clip that back a couple inches and the only growth you're going to get on that plant that year is 2 inches of new growth. If you go back into the older wood, you may not get any new growth on that wood. It may die back. It's always a little iffy with pines. You have to be careful. I'm not saying you can't prune them at other times of the year. You can to remove branches and things that you don't want. But if you're trying to control the size, it's a term called candling. Look it up, and it'll give you a really quick information on how to do that.
Okay. I love this next text because I feel like I've asked you this and you gave me bad news about it. But I have been hearing and seeing more and more on palm trees being planted in our region that can take a colder climate. When the leaves die off in the winter, do they come back in the summer? Is it even possible to plant these trees in our region? Because I've noticed a few planted in Windsor popping up recently.
I'm going with
come
no
on, Jay.
Palms are palms.
Yeah,
and even though we're called the Sun Belt and we're called many things here, we're still in Canada, and it's a little cold. When I lived in BC down in the lower mainland, we had some palms out there.
That's why I asked you, right? Yeah, I saw them on the island
palms
out there.
Down there that would make it through the winter.
Yeah.
Even that cold spell we had in January, in my opinion, would be enough to knock palms back. I honestly wouldn't risk it. I mean, if you want to give it a try, go ahead.
I kind of want to.
But I honestly don't think we have any palms here.
Okay.
There might be the odd fluke, but I certainly wouldn't count on it.
What about like a decade from now? The way the winters are going.
The way they're producing plants and they're breeding plants these days, it would not surprise me in the least. I mean, for areas like here, and if we continue with these mild winters, it's very possible, but I don't think so. We're ready right now.
It would help me get through winter if I could just,
100%.
At least I know there's a palm tree somewhere around.
They do have some nice fake ones.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. They really do, and I've seen them around town, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good morning. I have an evergreen in my front yard that is diseased and needs to be cut down. I'm looking for some ideas on what kind of tree would be nice in the front yard, what a service fairy would be nice, other suggestions that you have. Thank you very much.
I love service fairy.
Yeah.
I don't think there's enough of them around. I have one that I used to have in the front yard that I moved to the backyard. It was just a better location for it. I was hoping to keep it in the front, but it did okay, but not great. So I've moved it to the back where it gets a little bit more sun and a little bit better soil, and it already looks better. I just moved it last fall, and it looks better this spring already. Service berry are awesome. Service berry aren't necessarily considered a tree. They're a large shrub. I wouldn't necessarily consider them a tree, but if you want to replace that with an evergreen, by all means, give it a try, because I think they're one of my favorites. I mean, there's a ton of suggestions, and I know a lot of people are pushing towards native plants and Carolinian plants, which grow naturally in this area and do very well, and I'm all for that. Just make sure you do your research. Some of them are too big. Some of them take conditions that you might not necessarily have in your yard. I mean, I'm all for it. Go that way. But make sure it's a plant that's going to be able to handle the conditions that you have on your site. Just because it says it does well here doesn't mean it's necessarily going to do well in your yard.
Very quickly here, how can I get rid of Creeping Charlie? Good luck.
Good luck. It's still early, but again, look up the borax.
Yeah.
Just Google or look up borax Creeping Charlie, and they'll give you a recipe and an idea of how to apply it, but the time is coming up. It's going to be within a few weeks. As soon as that Creeping Charlie starts pushing out new growth, that's the best time of the year to control it. So get
on
ready. Get your borax and get ready to apply.
Where can I get a monkey puzzle tree? I love those trees.
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah.
Call around to some of the tropical growers. Colossani's used to carry a good variety of things.
Okay.
They're awesome trees.
Yeah.
We've got them in the greenhouse at the college. I haven't seen any around, but do a little research. I would start with Colossani's and kind of go from there.
You refer to Prothisius or
Forsythia, yep.
Thank you. When they bloom, what are they? What's a good time to plant grass seed as well?
Forsythia are just a beautiful flowering shrub. They're one of our earliest every year. The flowers come out before the leaves, so they're just these big yellow balls, and you see them all over the place right now, or depending on how they're pruned, but they're beautiful. They're one of my favorites. They're like, spring is here when you see the Forsythia, and it also tells you it's time to put down crabgrass control. You can plant them anytime. They're very, very tough plants, and they're good to go. Grass seed, I think Sandy went through this last week, but I'll mention it again. I still think it's a little early. There's no rush on it. I know, again, we said at the beginning of the show, everybody's chomping at the bit here, but just hold off on the grass seed. You can prepare now. You know, get your soil, rake it up, do whatever you want to do. I would still say it's a little early. I'm not saying you can't put it down. It's still going to germinate once the weather gets better, but you're going to lose some of the seed. So you're better off putting it down when conditions are perfect, which I still think we're probably a couple weeks away.
And for that texter, it is with an F. So it's Forsythia with an F.
Forsythia, yep.
Little heads up there. And last one, can you split rhubarb?
Sure you can.
Yeah?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I actually, when I moved my rhubarb last year, I kept it all together. But just because they were smaller plants, the plan is as they mature a bit, I am going to dig up a couple clumps and move them to fill in a larger area. Yeah, you can absolutely do that.
Oh, that makes me hungry for some rhubarb
pie. Oh, I love rhubarb.
Oh, bring it on.
Yeah.
Jay, have a great Easter weekend. Hopefully the food is awesome. We'll talk to you in April, okay?
All righty.
There you go. Jay Taberry answering all of your questions. We'll do it again next week. Everybody have a great weekend. Soak it in if family's in town. Enjoy those moments. We'll talk to you next week. It's Kyle Horner, live and local. Get gardening on AM800.
Get Gardening is brought to you by Plantscape Windsor. Love your space.